On June 18, 1822, a man using an assumed name landed at the mouth of the Colorado River. His real name was Samuel May Williams, and he would become indispensable to Stephen F. Austin and the financing of the Texas Revolution.
Welcome to This Week in Texas Masonic History from Johnson City Lodge number 561. I'm Brother Orator, and with me is Brother Archivist.
My job is to guard the record, check the sources, and name any uncertainty we find. I stick to the facts as we can verify them.
And my role is to turn that record toward meaning, context, and memorable Masonic education. Together, we explore our history. This Masonic historian agent was built by Dr. William Fisher, a master mason and proud member of Johnson City Lodge No. 561, to help share careful, engaging knowledge about Masonic history.
Our purpose is simple: to help brethren, prospects, and Texas history listeners learn Masonic history with curiosity, care, and source humility.
We invite you to learn more at johnsoncitylodge561.org. If you have questions or source leads for us, please send them to jclodge561@gmail.com.
This week, for June 15th through the 21st, we have two date-matched entries. We'll look at the arrival of Samuel May Williams in Texas and an important date in our Grand Lodge lineage. Then we'll turn to the archives to trace the story from the very first Texas Lodge right up to the founding of our own here in Johnson City.
It's a story that connects global Masonic history to our own lodge room. Let's begin.
The week starts quietly. We have no Texas First Masonic events curated for Monday, June 15th, or Tuesday, June 16th. These are good days to explore the past episodes available on our website.
That brings us to Wednesday. Brother Archivist, this date takes us far from Texas.
It does. On June 17, 1751, the ancient Grand Lodge of England was founded. This isn't a Texas event, but it's a key point in our lineage. The Grand Lodge of Texas descends through the tradition of the ancients, as they came to be called.
And that's important for understanding what we mean by regularity. Our authority to practice Freemasonry isn't self-proclaimed. It's inherited through a verified historical line of succession. That line for Texas runs right through the ancients' Grand Lodge.
Exactly. It connects our local story here in the Hill Country to a much broader Masonic history. Now for Thursday, we come back to Texas soil. On June 18, 1822, Samuel May Williams arrived at the mouth of the Colorado River.
Williams is a fascinating figure. He became Stephen F. Austin's right-hand man, his translator, clerk, record keeper, and a major financier of the Texas Revolution. He was a pillar of early Texas civil life.
He was. The Texas State Historical Association notes that, upon his death, Williams was buried by the Knights Templars, whose chapter he had founded. This gives us a firm Masonic connection. However, a note of caution. The briefing indicates this June 18th landing date comes from secondary summaries and should be verified against primary sources, like Margaret Hinson's biography.
That's a perfect example of your work, Brother Archivist. We have a strong story and a clear Masonic link, but we remain careful about the details until they're confirmed. Williams' arrival marks the beginning of a career that helped build the infrastructure of a new society.
The rest of the week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, is open on the calendar. So let's turn to the archive to build out the story of how Texas Masonry itself was founded.
This is the essential context. Where does it all begin?
It begins before the Republic, with a handful of men. On March 1, 1835, Anson Jones and four other Masons met and established the first Masonic Lodge in Texas. They met at Brazoria.
Anson Jones, the same man who would become the first Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Texas, and later, the last President of the Republic of Texas. He embodies the deep connection between the founding of our fraternity and the founding of our nation.
That first meeting led to a formal charter. On January 27, 1836, the Grand Lodge of Louisiana issued a charter for that group, naming them Holland Lodge No. 36. This is the lodge that would eventually become Holland Lodge No. 1 under the Grand Lodge of Texas.
And the timing is incredible. That charter was issued just weeks before Texas declared its independence. The Texas Revolution was about to ignite.
It was. In fact, the lodge building in Brazoria, along with its records and jewels, was destroyed during the war. But the charter itself survived. It hadn't yet arrived from New Orleans, so it was safe from the conflict.
That surviving document is the physical link, the proof of regularity, that allowed Texas Masonry to formally organize after the Revolution. It connects the frontier meetings of men like Anson Jones to the established, recognized body of Freemasonry through the Grand Lodge of Louisiana.
From that single surviving charter, the Grand Lodge of Texas was eventually formed, and over the decades, Masonry grew with the state. Which brings us to our final archive entry, and the most local one for us.
Bring it home to Johnson City.
On December 16, 1882, the Grand Lodge of Texas granted a charter to Johnson City Lodge No. 561.
Think about that timeline. We've gone from five men meeting in 1835 to a Grand Lodge forming in 1837, and by 1882, the institution is so well established that it's chartering new lodges in young hill country communities like ours. The fragile experiment of the Republic era had become a cornerstone of civic life across Texas.
That is the date our own lodge officially entered the Texas Masonic story, inheriting the legacy we've just discussed.
So, what are the takeaways for this week?
First, our Masonic lineage is both local and global, connecting us back to traditions like the ancient Grand Lodge of England. Second, key figures like Samuel May Williams helped build the civil society in which Texas Masonry would flourish. And third, the story of Texas Masonry is one of careful, deliberate organization, from Anson Jones's first meeting to Holland's charter and eventually to our own charter here in Johnson City.
It's a history of resilience and purpose. Thank you for joining us for this week in Texas Masonic history. We hope you'll continue to explore these stories with us, with care and with curiosity. From all of us at Johnson City Lodge No. 561, have a blessed week.